How many of you know my favorite place to vacation? No, Norwood's the center of the universe. But no, that's not where I have two places I really like to vacation. I like to go to the beach, and I like to go to the mountains. But I want to, I'm preparing myself for the beach, because I'm going to the beach in not very much time, pretty soon. And I've been getting ready. You know, I've been psyching myself up. It doesn't take much for me to psych myself up to go to the beach. But, you know, last weekend, line in the sand was our theme. And, boy, that just suited me just fine. So I thought I would come and I'd wear this hat this morning. And I would say, not today, Satan, because I've drawn a line in the sand. And that's going to be our theme for this morning. So if you would stand, I'm going to read some scripture. From Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 in the New King James Version. And this is what it says. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Father, we're so thankful for your word. And God, we thank you for the promises that it gives us and for the instruction that it gives us on how we are to live our lives. And God, I pray that as we go out of here today that we will have captured something in our heart that we can take out to help us make it through the next week and the next days. Father, we know that time is short and we know that we need to be ready to come to heaven because you are coming back for your children soon. God, let us not be tempted by the devil, but let us push him back and let him know that he is not welcome in our space. We honor you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, you all know I've been cleaning out Mom's house. And I went and I got this, and I brought it to church with me this morning. Anybody got one of these? Anybody's family ever have one of these? Yeah. See, you know, my kids, God love them. When I'm dead and gone, they're going to throw away everything I got. Let me get this set up here. Now, my mom's kept this for all these years, and I'm going to break it. There. See, that's a picture of Jesus. And it's a picture of what man thinks Jesus is. You know, there's ways that we think of Jesus, and it's our image of who he is and what he is. But the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus was made in the image of God. It gives us a description of Jesus. And we see these pictures, and he looks all pretty, and he's all, you know, he looks all nice and everything and just sweet and meek and mild. But, you know, I believe that there was a side of Jesus that some of us don't realize. A side that when he was confronted by Satan, that he stood up to him. He stood up and he became that person who said, "Not today, Satan. You're not going to get me today, Satan." We need to know that this is the Jesus that we need to live with and live for. The Jesus that God explained that he was a carpenter. He was a hard worker. He was somebody who got his hands dirty. How many like to get your hands dirty? I don't like to get my hands dirty. I will, but I don't like to. But Jesus wasn't somebody who was always that perfect, meek, and mild person. He had a side to him. It tells us that he went into the temple and he turned the tables over because he was upset that they were selling in his house. He was a man who was firm about what he believed, and he wasn't afraid to share it. We need to know that he was more than somebody who died for us. We need to know that he was more than somebody who resurrected. But he was a man who lived an example for us that we could know how to live. He lived that example for all those years when he was teaching. He was 33 years old. And, you know, he became a minister probably just 3 years. But he worked so hard before that. He was a man who actually did things. He wasn't passive like all these pictures that we see. You know, some say he was meek, but that doesn't mean that he was a weak man. He was a man that was forceful and when he needed to be. He knew when he needed to take charge. Weakness is a lack of ability of power, but meekness is power under control. How many of us, when we're upset, have power of control? Jesus was somebody who had meekness. He had power under control. Some of us need to learn that, don't we? We need to learn how to be meek. And I want us to hear today that Jesus was a meek man, but that doesn't mean that he was weak. Meekness is the ultimate expression of strength. Sometimes it takes more for you to be meek than it does for you to be weak. We need to know that. Let's look to see how Jesus behaved when he was taken into custody by those religious leaders in the garden. You remember the soldiers came after him and they had come there to arrest him, and Judas was with them. And Peter, what does Peter do? He pulls out his sword and he slices off the ear of one of the soldiers. Jesus was like, "Peter, come on, buddy, put away your sword. Don't do that. We don't need that right now." Now, I don't know about you, but if they were coming after me, I'd be saying, "Go get them. Go get them, buddy." But Jesus, what does he do? He goes over to the gentleman and he puts his ear back up to it and he heals his ear. You know, Jesus knew how to be that person who got things done but did it in the right way. You know, some people just like to get things done and they don't care how they get it done. They just want to get it done. But we need to know that we need to do it in the right way. Jesus, you know, he could have called all of those angels to come and take care of him and his situation. But you see, he knew he had a purpose. And he knew that God had placed him here for a reason. That's the Jesus I want to know. The Jesus that was willing to do what it took for my freedom. He did what he needed to do so that I could someday live with him in heaven. Jesus, who's sitting at the Last Supper, just think about him sitting at that Last Supper. Judas, the man who is going to betray him, is sitting right there with him, and he knows it. He could have looked at Judas and said, "Hey, buddy, let's not do this. Please don't do this to me." But did he do that? No. Jesus was a meek man, but he was not weak. And he was looking at Judas, and he was probably saying, "Not today, Satan. You're not going to win today." And that's what we need to do. We need to know that we need to stand up to him and say, "Not today, Satan. You may have me going through this, but not today. You're not going to win. You think you're going to destroy me?" That's what he's saying. Jesus is saying, "You think you're going to destroy me? You just watch. You just watch what's about to happen. God has a purpose and a plan for me. And that is about to be fulfilled. And he said, you go ahead, because you're going to see what's going to happen in here in a few days. Sometimes he didn't have to even say anything. Sometimes he just needed to be there. Sometimes we need to know that no response is better than a response. Sometimes we need to learn to be quiet. We need to learn to shut our mouths. Boy, some women are just going to amen me all the way through this. But you know, we've got to know, seriously. There were times when when Jesus was quiet. And then there were other times when he had to be forceful. And we as Christians need to learn the difference. We need to learn when we need to be quiet and we need to listen. But we need to learn when we need to be forceful and take care of the situation. We need to learn when to put Satan in his place. We need to learn when it's time to say, not today, Satan. Sometimes we need to be quiet, but other times we need to yell it from the rooftops. Have you ever been so upset and you've said, not today, Satan? Sometimes we need to yell and get his attention. He is so busy at trying to destroy us, we need to yell, not today, Satan, it's not going to happen. And that's what we learned at the women's conference last week. That's what we were reminded of, that we need to draw the line in the sand. And we need to know that our side is over here with Jesus and Satan is over there. And we cannot allow him to cross that line. We've got to push him back. We've got to put him in his place. He doesn't care to put you in your place. We've got to put him in his place. Satan's going to try to do anything he can to destroy you as a child of God. He will try to convince you that you're not one. He'll try to tell you, well, you're not a Christian. Look how you're acting. And he will get you all tore up, and he will get you to say things that you shouldn't. Oh, boy. That's when we need to be quiet. We need to be quiet because we need to know that sometimes we've got to just shut up and listen. We need to do that. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 says this. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. You see, we saw in chapter 4 that Satan said to him, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. But you see, that first word in that whole chapter of chapter 4 is then. That verse, that word then is the first word in chapter 4. Because the chapter 3 before that, verse 16, says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And verse 17 says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Jesus is the Son of God. And God just confirmed it in that scripture. Jesus is, he's baptized, he's empowered with the Holy Spirit. And he gets that affirmation from the Father that he is his Son, and he's so pleased with him. Is that how God looks at you? That you are his child and that he's pleased with you? Just like Jesus, we need to know that we are in Christ. So when Satan comes after us, that we can stand our ground with him and draw that line and not let him come across it. Remember David with Goliath? In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a word, with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Satan will challenge everything that you have. He will challenge you that you are not a child of the Father. He's going to tell you that you are not anything important. Anybody in here feel that way? That you're not important? You are important to God. God said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." You see, Satan says, if you are the son of God, he was trying to get Jesus to doubt who he was. If you are the son of God. And God had already told him that he was. If you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. Don't let Satan try to tell you that you're not. Don't let him try to declare who you are. We have to declare that we know who we are. Remember in Genesis how Satan got to Eve, and you know, Eve was created in the likeness and image of God. But Satan tried to tell her that she wasn't anything important, you know. Oh, you know, God told you that if you ate of that tree, or, you know, that certain tree, that you would surely die. You're not going to die. Don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just afraid that you will know as much as he does if you do. Satan will try to come to you, and he will try to get you to do things that you shouldn't. And we need to know when we need to stand up to him and say, not today, Satan. Not today. You are not getting me today. This is why people go through life trying with their motivation. They say, I've got to prove myself to somebody. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody but God. And you need to show him that you are with him. You are a child of the Most High God. You are a child of the God who owns it all. He can give you whatever you need. We just need to have the confidence to go to him and ask him. We need to stand our ground. We have authority over Satan. How many believe that? How many of you believe that you have authority over the devil? None of us? We have the power to know that we can stand up to him. You say, Carolyn, I'm afraid of him. You don't have any reason to be afraid of him. You are a child of the Most High God. You are a child of the God who can destroy him. Think about that. Now, I've been through a lot of stuff. But I haven't been through anything that God hasn't walked with me and hasn't been right there by my side. You see, if Satan can get in your head, if he can get in your mind, he's got you. If you allow him to cross that line that you've drawn, he's got you. If he can mess with you and your relationship with God, he can destroy the confidence that you have in Jesus. He can destroy that. We've got to let him know that he can't do that. This is why we have to draw that line in the sand and not let Satan in our space. We have to put him in our place. You see, I know who wins in the end. I have read the end of the book. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm headed. Do you know where you're headed? And that's the reason I can draw that line and I can tell Satan to back off. Get out of my house. You don't live here. You know, I've had people come into my home here and they say, there's such a peace in here. It feels so good in here. And, you know, it ain't me. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in. I've invited him in every crevice of my house. Holy Spirit, come in here and fill it up. And if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that. Holy Spirit, come and live in my house. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And, you know, we need to give him the keys to our house. We need to allow him to come in anytime he wants to. We need to allow him to feel like he's at home. You know, when you go to buy a house, what do they do? When you sign those papers, what happens after you sign those papers? They give you the keys to the house, don't they? And you get to go and you get to enjoy your home. Some of us need to give Jesus the keys. We need to allow him to know that he is welcome there. Revelations 3 and 7 says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens." You see, if God has the keys to our home, he can shut the devil out. It says that devil can't get in. We need to give him the keys. But so many of us, we leave our doors open. We leave the gates of our mind open. And we allow Satan to have free reign whenever he wants to. We need to draw that line in the sand, and we need to close the doors and windows. We need to close them up, and we need to say, "Not today, Satan. You're not coming in here today." But Satan will always try to argue with you the truth. And we got to remember what he did to Adam and Eve. We got to remember what he did to Jesus. And in Genesis chapter 2, God told them that if they ate that tree, that from that tree, that they would surely die. But Satan comes along and tells them, "No. No, I told you that. No, you're not going to die." We need to stop listening to this, to Satan, and allow God to work in us. We need to not argue with him. We need to tell him that we are not going to let him in. We need to stop letting him tell us who we are. Some of us cower. Some of us don't have confidence. Some of us don't have the power within us to stand up to him. You know, I hear people talk to me and they tell me things, and you know, I say, you need to allow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the power. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, that is the thing I encourage you to allow today. Open up your life and let God fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because that Holy Spirit gives you the power to make it each day. And I can tell you, life in America is not always easy. But I tell you, it's a lot easier here than it is in some places. We have the freedom to come to God's house and worship him. We need to stand tall and say, "I am a child of the Most High God. I am made in the likeness and image of God. I was created to worship him. And not today, Satan. And while I'm in it, not tomorrow either." We can say, "Not today, Satan," but we should never allow him to control our thoughts and our minds. We are in a spiritual warfare. It is real. You are in a battle for your life. Which will you choose? Will you choose the Jesus who is meek but is powerful? We need to be powerful. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds." What is a stronghold? It's a fence or a defensive structure. We have built so many strongholds in our lives. You know, maybe you're in a relationship where you have had to build strongholds. You have had to build walls. We have built so many walls. Maybe at work you have built walls against your coworkers because you have arguments with them. Maybe you don't get along with them. We in our lives have done that. We have allowed people to hurt us, and we have built walls up. It's time that we knock those walls down and we allow God to be our strength and our power. We got to stop building those strongholds except against Satan. We need to draw that line in the sand and not let him cross it. We need to draw it and stand firm and keep the door closed so he can't destroy us. Paul says we have the ability to pull down those strongholds that come against us. We need to pull down whatever's blocking our blessing. You know what? Like I've said so many times before, somebody may have hurt your feelings, or they've said something about you, and you have held on to it for years. And you just cannot get over it. And they have gone on about their lives. They've forgotten about it. They don't even remember it. They may not have even meant what you thought they meant. And you have destroyed your life, and they have just lived like they've, you know, nothing has ever happened. We have got to stop allowing those things to happen in our lives. Maybe you're blocking your focus. You're blocking what you need to be focused on. Maybe you're blocking peace from your life. We need to allow those strongholds to be torn down. Maybe your generation has a pattern of behavior, and it has just gone on from generation to generation. You need to be the person that breaks that pattern. You need to be the person that blocks that from your family. We need to be strong in Him. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. Let's use it. Remember that song we used to sing? We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We need to use that. We need to manage the moments that Satan is trying to argue with us. That is why it's so important to be filled with that Holy Spirit and fire. We've got to have the Holy Spirit in our lives to allow Satan to know that he has no power over us. Many Christians are losing spiritually because they are losing the argument with Satan. You're allowing him to argue with you. Now I'm going to have to take this hat off. So I'm sorry, Charlotte, but I got to take it off. We are allowing Satan to win the arguments in our lives. You need to draw that line in the sand. You know, when I get to the beach, I'm going to do that. I'm going to draw me a line in the sand just so that I can see it. Sometimes visually we have to see something. Maybe you need to get you a piece of tape at home and you need to draw a line or right in the front door. Say, Satan, you can't come in here. This is not your home because Jesus resides here. You need to have peace in your home. You need to have comfort in your home. And we're losing that battle because we are allowing Satan to win. We've got to stand firm. We've got to be strong. We let him talk us out of who we are in Christ. Stop it. Stop letting him do that to you. Our text today teaches us how to manage those moments. You know, Jesus was the model for us of what we need to do when the enemy argues with us. Sometimes we need to clap back at him. You know, that's what Jesus did. Some tell us to ignore Satan. I'm telling you today to not ignore him. I'm telling you to go at him. Go at him with the word. Go at him with scripture that you have. You know, in that chapter, Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 10. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Did Jesus just stand there and look at him? No. It says that Jesus answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, Satan, he is just that pushy that he went back at Jesus again. He took him into the holy city and he set him up the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. But it says that Jesus came back to him. Jesus didn't stand there and take it. He came back to him and said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Did the devil leave him alone? Nope. Devil came at him again. And it says, and again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Has Satan ever said that to you? Satan ever said, you know what? If you'll just live and have a good time, I'll give you all of these things. I think about so many actresses and actors and athletes. They have all, a lot of singers have started out in church. You know, they've started out singing for their church or whatever, and they get on those shows. I like to watch those shows where they win, you know, American Idol and all those. But they start out in church, and they start out singing for God, and then they get a little fame, and they get a little notoriety, and what do? Satan shows them all these things that they can have if they will follow him. And so many of them do that. If you are the Son of God, turn those stones into bread. I know you're hungry. You've been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. You've got to be hungry. You see, Satan wanted God to be led by his, or Jesus to be led by his appetite, not his assignment. We have an assignment. God has placed us here for a reason. And you know, I've heard it said so many times lately, you know, I'm so worried about my kids and my grandkids in this time that they're living in. But God knew exactly what he was doing when he placed them here. We have a purpose. We have a destiny. We have a reason that we are here today. We need to share the gospel with others. But it says that Satan tried to derail him. Is he trying to derail you? Is he trying to tell you that you don't need him? You don't need Jesus. I got everything you need. I've got all the good times. I got the people that you need to know. See, people get hungry for fame. They get hungry for fortune. They get hungry for power, influence, notoriety. They get hungry for those things. And they forget that God can provide all that we need. We can't let Satan derail us. We have to look at him and say, not today, Satan. Now, you don't always have to scream it at him. Some days it's just kind of fun to say, not today, Satan. Not today. You're not doing it to me today. Satan, he knows when you're hungry. You know, that's one thing about Satan. He can't read your mind. He can't do all that. We tell him everything that he needs to know. And in that point, sometimes we need to learn to be quiet. We need to learn not to tell him everything we know about ourselves. God knows everything about us, but Satan doesn't until we tell him. So we need to learn that sometimes we need to just keep quiet about how we are. Keep quiet about the things that are bothering us, because Satan will bring. If you have never learned anything else, listen to this. Satan will get you from what you've told him that you don't like. And he will bring it right in your face every time. If something's bothering you, you'll look up and that'll be what you'll see. We need to learn to keep quiet and not tell him everything that we know. He cannot get in your mind unless you allow him to. You need to close the gate to your mind and not allow him in. Jesus teaches us how to have it all. He teaches us how to live through him. He was an example. Maybe you'll say, well, you know, I'm hungry, so I need to go over there. But then you say, well, maybe I better go over here. Some of us need to change our directions in the way we're living. Well, you know, there's a party over here. And I know that they're going to be doing things that I really shouldn't be doing, but I think I might go anyway. You need to say, no, I probably should go over here. I need to stay away from that stuff because that tempts me. Because if you go, Satan is going to use that to draw you in. You need to close your mind to that stuff. We need to allow God to speak to us. We We need to allow God to be the one that leads us into the path that we're going. Freedom or bondage depends on who wins the argument. You need to say, not today, Satan. I've got this one. This one's mine. This is my victory today, Satan, not yours. Do I believe what God said in chapter 3, or do I believe what is being tested to me in chapter 4? You know, Jesus could have said, when Satan said that to him, well, you know, maybe I'm not the Son of God. Maybe I'm not. See, God had already spoken. Has God spoken to you in your life and said, you are my child? Have you asked him to be your Lord and Savior? If you have, you're a child of God. Don't let Satan talk you out of it. Don't allow him to do that. Have you ever dealt with something and you say, oh God, please no, not today. Don't allow this happen to me today, Lord. I just can't do it today. Don't allow things to bring you down. We need to know that God is faithful and he knows every argument that Satan has with you. And it takes energy and strength to get through them. We need to have that. And Satan will use your experiences, but we need to stand on God's word. And we need to come back at him. When you are going through something, remember that you're just going through it. There is victory on the other side if you will just fight your way through it. That light at the end of the tunnel is not the train. We need to know that when we're going through it, we're not walking it alone. That is what is so comforting to me, to know that I am not going through it alone. Most of you know my story. You know where I've come from. You know what I've been through in the last few years. Life has not been easy. But I've made it. I'm standing today firm. I hope I'm firm in Jesus. I'm trying my best to do what he wants me to do. Has it been easy? Absolutely not. Have I enjoyed it? No, not all of it. But I have enjoyed feeling his presence. His presence has been so real to our family. I want you to think a minute about the guy who he had gone to the Pool of Bethesda. He had been sick for 38 years. And he was laying beside the Pool of Bethesda. And there was only certain times when the angel would come and stir the waters so that the first person in could be healed. You see, he didn't have anybody to help him in the water. So for 38 years, he tried. Just imagine if on the 37th year, he said, I'm not sitting here anymore. There's nobody to help me anymore. So I'm just going to go home and be miserable. But no, he waited. He sat there by the pool. And what does it say? I've got to read my scripture. It tells me that he was sitting there. He was paralyzed. And he didn't have anybody to put him in the water. But it says in verse 5, it says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. This is in John chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am coming, another one steps before me. And I like this. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and he walked. Sometimes we just need to wait. Oh, it's so hard. I hate to wait for anything. But sometimes we just need to wait another minute. Wait another day. Wait another week. Hold on to what God has promised. Because we have victory on the other side. We're going through it, but we're going to make it. Now, let me just tell you, sometimes people aren't healed here on earth. Sometimes we have to pass away and go to heaven. But let me tell you what, that is your reward. Sometimes we just need to wait a little longer. Jesus, the Master, is going to come by. He's going to take care of your situation. Like I said, it may not be the way we want it, but know that God never, ever makes a mistake. There's a purpose and a reason for every situation you go through. It may be to help someone else. Maybe you're depleted of all the energy you have. You say, Carolyn, I just can't do it anymore. This is when the Holy Spirit is so important. When you feel like your energy is gone. When you feel like you can't go one more day. One more minute. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and just take control. And He will. He will take control. He will be there for you. You just got to let the Master walk in. Let Him walk into your circumstance. The only way Satan wins is if we are quiet. The only way Satan wins is if we quit. We got to draw a line in the sand and say, not today, Satan. We don't quit. We stand with God because He is our leader and our guide. We can't be weary in doing good, for in due season you'll reap if you don't fail. If you don't faint, I know it's exhausting. But hold on a little longer. Don't faint. I know it's weary, but don't faint. God has got you. David said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's time to draw that line in the sand. It's time to stand firm. It's time to tell Satan what he's going to do. You're going to get out of my life and you're going to get out of my mind. Not today, Satan. And not tomorrow either. If you would stand with me.